Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com.
We're forever grateful. You see that we have decided that we're going to follow Jesus every day of our life until we go back to home to be with Jesus, because he's so real in our lives. Amen. When he becomes real to you, everything else dissipates and disappears, because you know that he's the one that you can cast your cares upon. He's the one that takes care of everything that you're concerned about. In fact, he says, don't be concerned about anything. He says, in all things with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. So when, you know, we're ministering to some people this week. We minister when we're not in the pulpit as well. How many of you think that's a good idea? Yes. We talk to people about Jesus when we're not in the pulpit. And one of the things about that is that people think they've got to give up so much to come to Jesus. But you don't have to give up anything, because Jesus comes to where you are.
That's right.
And he says, come unto me, those who are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So Jesus is saying, I'm coming to where you are. You don't have to come. You can't reach to the place where I am, but I'm coming to the place where you are. And one of the big things is people think, I have to give up so much to just follow Jesus. And the fact is, you don't give up anything, but when you come to Jesus, your wants change. You don't want to do the things that you used to do. There's a change happens from inside of you, and that change changes you completely. Amen. It's an amazing work of redemption. It's an amazing work where God reconciles you back to himself and brings you back to the place he wants you to be. And once you realize that he's living in you and he is the hope of glory, well, that'll change your life forevermore. Yes. Someone in this mega church should say amen.
Yes.
When I stand in a pulpit, I don't see what you see. I see something different. I see what God sees. I see the potential in you. I see the life in you. I see where you can be and what you can do. Amen. And when we live in a society that's a hopeless society, there are people lost, undone, without hope, not knowing what to do, where to go, or how to get there, then God sent us to bring hope into your life. Yes. So that you can see further than you've ever seen before. You can do things you've never done before. You can run faster. You can make a difference to your family and to your friends just by what's put in you. Yes. So God is gives you a great opportunity at life. In fact, the Bible says in John 10:10 that he has come to give us life in all its abundance and all its fullness. So when we scratch around looking for fullness in our life, if we miss the principal thing, which is wisdom, and we miss the principles of the kingdom, we won't get to the place God wants us to get to. You see, he has laid out principles, and those principles work for Christian and non-Christian. Principles are what the world moves upon, and we really need those principles in our life, and the primary principle is wisdom. Yeah. He says, therefore, the first thing is get wisdom, and with it get understanding. When you get wisdom and understanding, you can go anywhere, you can do anything, you can have whatever God says you can have, you can do whatever God says you can do, and you can be whatever God says you can be. And God never created losers.
That's right.
He created winners. Amen. Amen. He in Colossians 2, it tells us that he went to hell, rose again from the, well, while he was in hell, he took the keys of hell and death. So all authority belongs to him, and he gave us all authority over circumstances on earth, not over people, but over circumstances. Amen. So that we've got authority to call those things that be not as though they are, and move into that supernatural realm. We can live in a supernatural realm here on earth. I think that is awesome. When you realize the authority that you have over sickness, disease, over poverty, over the... You see, Jesus died so the curse of the law wouldn't hold you in its bondage. And that curse of the law is poverty, sickness, and death. Now, you see, a spiritual death. So when you come into the knowledge of Jesus, you have spiritual life. So as you lean into this message today, just think on those things, because the Bible tells us in Psalm 139 that you're not here by accident today. You may think you're here because of an invitation of someone, but that the Bible says that it was planned even before you were in your mother's womb. God had planned, laid out your whole life for you, and he knew that you'd be here today. He knew I'd be here today. So that this is a divine appointment. So we have a divine appointment going on today. Nudge your neighbor and say, you know, this is a divine appointment. I'm here with you because it's a divine appointment. Hallelujah. So we're blessed, and we're walking in faith every day. We walk in a extraordinary type of way. It's an extraordinary lifestyle. So we've got this container going to Swaziland just now, and there's situations keep arising that we've just got to pray through and break through. But as we are doing that, we see the thing coming to its eventual resting place, and we see the thrill and the enjoyment of people opening those doors of that container, and the people that are standing around just aghast. You know, the Queen of Sheba came to Solomon's temple to see the reign of Solomon. Now, she came with like 4 tons of gold to give him as a present, you know, so she wasn't short of cash. And she came there and she almost fainted. She says, "The breath has gone out of me. The half of which you have hasn't been told me." And it's that kind of thing. When they open the doors of that container, people will just go, People, even in a place called Scotland that we don't even know where it is, care about us here. They care about us so much, they would do all this for us here in this place in the northeastern side of Swaziland doesn't have what the facilities that we have, and they get this, and this, it's showing the love of God. That's love in action when we do these things. So today I want you to listen up. I bless God. I thank you that you have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today, that you will have ears to hear, and that you will lean in and draw from the Spirit of God. Not draw from me, but I also draw from me, but draw from the Spirit of God and the Word of God. So 1 Kings 18:41 says this in the New Living Testament. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go get something to eat and drink, for I hear a mighty rainstorm coming." So Ahab went to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel and bowed low to the ground and prayed with his face between his knees. He must have been really supple. How many of you could do that? Well, let me see. Well, maybe Joe could do it. No? So He must have been doing yoga or something. I don't know. But then he said, you know, when you read the Bible and you see some of these things, you get a picture and you think, how could he get his face between his knees? Golly. So anyway, that's just me. Then he said to his servant, go and look out toward the sea. The servant went and looked and then returned to Elijah and said, I didn't see anything. Seven times Elijah told him to go and look. Finally, the seventh time his servant told him, I saw a little cloud about the size of a man's hand rising from the sea. Then Elijah shouted, hurry to Ahab and tell him, climb into your chariot and go back home. If you don't hurry, the rain will stop you. And soon the sky was black with clouds and a heavy wind brought a terrific rainstorm, and Ahab left quickly for Jezreel. I'm sure at this time, Gehazi, who was the servant of Elijah, could have said to him, prophet, you know, you're not really been reasonable here. This is this time of year it doesn't rain. When we lived in South Africa for 6 or 7 months of the year, it never rained. It was just blue skies all the time. There was not a drop of rain for months on end. You guaranteed a totally cloudless blue sky every morning when you wake up. So Gehazi says, prophet, you're asking me to go and look for something that we won't see at this time of the year. And he says, I've gone six times already and I've seen nothing. We're in dry land and it doesn't rain in this place. You're not being reasonable. And the truth is, the prophet wasn't being reasonable, but God used his unreasonable expectations. So God used Nehemiah, when we think about unreasonable expectations, God used Nehemiah, who was the cupbearer to the king. The cupbearer to the king was right beside the king at all times. Every time the king wanted a drink, the cupbearer was there, because the cupbearer was there to taste that so that the king couldn't be assassinated with poison. Are you with me? So the cupbearer was right beside the king at all times. So it's unreasonable expectation for this man to ask a pagan king for time off, for leave of absence, so that he could go back to his distant home in Jerusalem and not only ask for time off from a pagan king, but also for all the resources that he needed to start a revival in Jerusalem. That's an unreasonable expectation, we would think. It's an unreasonable expectation for a 17-year-old shepherd boy to go up against a trained warrior who was nine foot and Bible say 9 3/4 feet, 9 foot 9 inches tall, a trained killer. A young shepherd boy would go up against him and in hand-to-hand combat and beat him. That was an unreasonable expectation. It was an unreasonable expectation when Jesus took on 12 men of various backgrounds and little education to be the founders of a global movement called the church. That was an unreasonable expectation. So say to your neighbor, it's time to stop being so reasonable. Tell them, don't base your expectations on what is reasonable. We base our expectations on what is reasonable. We do things because it's reasonable. We understand why we're doing it. We don't take the chance of being unreasonable in some of the things that we do. But the Bible's full of things where people did things that were had unreasonable. In the natural, the things were unreasonable expectations. But God takes our unreasonable expectations and uses them on our behalf or His behalf. Now, we've got a slide there, unreasonable expectation. But here's, it's not reasonable to expect a seed to be that have fallen on a tar road to find its way down through into the base of the tar and then work its way up and grow out of a tar road. Wow. You think, that's unreasonable. That doesn't happen. But it does. Something soft and pliable like a plant that you can just pull apart, how can it grow up through a base course, a sub course, and then all that hardcore and up through tar? Anything will grow to the light. A seed will grow through concrete to get to the light. It's unreasonable expectation. You wouldn't go and sow seed there. But you see, Jesus is saying, in Matthew 19, he says, humanly, it is unreasonable, but whatever is unreasonable to man, whatever is impossible to man, is possible to God. Yeah. Whatever is impossible to man is possible to God. Amen? Whatever is impossible to man is possible to God. Jesus is saying, I don't want you to base your expectations on what is reasonable. I'm going to need to elevate your expectations from what is reasonable to what is unreasonable. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to elevate your expectations from what you consider reasonable to unreasonable. Amen. He's saying, I have to move you from the level that you are and increase your expectations. Amen. We need to increase our expectations. The Bible says this in Luke 3:15. Now the people were in expectation. That's talking about the congregation of a church. Now the people were in expectation. I don't think that I get up in a day without having expectation. Oral Roberts used to say, expect a miracle today. Expect something good to happen in your life today. Yes. Expect something good to happen in your life today. I heard about a treasure hunter in Florida. For 16 years, you can Google this, for 16 years, he hunted for this ship. It was a Spanish galleon that had gone down off Florida Keys. For 16 years, he went every day and he would tell his crew and he would tell his workers, today is the day. We are going to find that motherlode. We are going to find that treasure. Today is the day. Through that 16 years, he lost a son and a daughter-in-law to the sea. And for those 16 years, he never gave up. Can you imagine being one of that crew every day? Today is the day. We're going to get it. They come back that night after swimming underwater all day. Nothing. Every day, nothing. For 16 whole years. And one day he was in an office in Florida and the radio crackles and his son was on the other end of the radio and he says, Dad, you can put away the maps. We've found the motherlode. Wow. Hallelujah. But you're only one step away from victory. You're only one step away from your expectation. But if you give up on expecting to see that miracle, expecting that breakthrough, when you're on the edge, that most people give up when they're on the edge of the breakthrough. You're right there. You're right there. You just keep expecting it.
Yeah.
You say, well, what if it doesn't happen? Just expect it again.
Yeah.
Just keep expecting it. You say, well, I've had this problem for 16 years. Hey, there's a guy at the gate, beautiful. They laid him there for 41 years. He lay at the gate, beautiful, begging for alms. But one day, the Bible says in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John were walking in to pray, and he's asking everybody for alms. He's asking everybody for something. He's just begging there. And he looked at Peter and John, and they looked back at him, but something happened in him. His expector came on. His switch of expectation came on. And Peter said to him, silver and gold, I have none. But in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. His expectation may not have been there up to that moment in time, but once his expectation got to that level, nothing was going to stop him receiving what God had for him.
Wow.
You got to expect a miracle. Yes. You got to expect something. We live in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
We live under the rule of the King.
Yes.
Amen. And the King has said that he will give us every good. And 1 Peter 2 says, I'll give you every good and precious gift that comes from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Hallelujah. Somebody in this church needs to say, thank you, Jesus, because it's the truth anyway. He has prepared. The Bible says, how many of you know Psalm 23? Even if you're a non-Christian, you know Psalm 23. In Psalm 23, it says, he will prepare a table for you even in the presence of your enemies.
Amen.
So he's prepared a sumptuous meal and given you the peace to eat it even in the presence, even in amongst your enemies. He has given you that table prepared for you.
Yes.
Say to your neighbor, that's me he's talking about. That's us he's talking about. Amen. It's prepared for me. Don't ever let some... It's when God's talking to you, he's talking to you. Let me tell you this, walk with Jesus is a you and God thing.
Yeah.
It's a you and God thing. Amen. It's a you and God thing. God's got no grandchildren. We don't go to heaven in the petticoat tails of our wife. Or we don't go to heaven on the shirt tail of our grandfather or our mother and father. No, we have to do it ourselves.
Amen.
We have to get ourselves to that place where we receive Jesus Christ. We receive him as our personal Lord and Savior. You see, the Holy Spirit looks for the spirit of expectation. If God is going to do something, he looks for people with expectation. We need to expect God to do something in our lives, the lives of our family, the life of our church, the life of our career, the life of everything which concerns us. Amen. I went to buy a new dingus. And we went into the shop and we looked at the thing, and we were on the way out. We said, oh, we'll think about it. And we're on our way out when we met. Now listen, we're talking about expectation. So we live in expectation. So on the way out, we met someone who blessed us by saying, I can get you this discount off of that. And the discount was like £80.
Wow.
off the same thing. So we said, thank you very much. Hallelujah. You see, when expectation happens, it will come all different ways. Amen. And now, last night, we found out why we got that £80 discount then, because our boiler broke last night. So we need that £80 for something else. But you know, the expectation that someone will come and fix that boiler. Amen.
Amen. Yep.
So, it's just like, oh, the boiler broke. No, what's going to happen next? Everything comes in threes. That's the first. Now, what's going to be next? Thank God you don't think like that in this church. I mean, no, something good is about to happen. Something good is in store. Amen. Hallelujah. I see it coming already. So we should be in great anticipation whenever we, listen, when you come to church. So it's like, oh, church is on at 11. I need to get up at 5 to 10 or 10 o'clock because it takes me half an hour to get there. I'm preparing from this Sunday to next Sunday to come to church on Sunday. And it's like, get up in the morning, pray. This is my day, Lord. This is the day that I'm going to receive that. Yes. Father, I'm there. I'm expecting to receive a word. One word. One word. One word. One word changed my life. 1980, one word changed my life. In fact, 1977, one word changed my life. When a wee Irishman said to me, surely now, Bernie, you can do better than you're doing. So I says, well, what do you mean? And he told me, and I said, no one ever said that to me in my life before. That one word from a wee Irishman, Luke Summers was his name, I tell you, that changed my life. That started me on a course that I hadn't been on before. Because I got a vision, I got a plan, I could see my future from that one word. Is this helping anybody in this? One word will change your life. I'm expecting one word today, Lord. One word. One word can heal you. One word will deliver you. One word can save your family. One word can save you. Amen. And the Holy Spirit's looking for that person that's saying, Lord, one word. You know, in the churches, the old churches, they used to have what they called prodders in the church. Do you know what a prodder is? A prodder is a guy that walked up and down the church with a long stick. And if somebody was like, oh yeah, there's two up the back, Bill and God. So if someone's nodding off, they could reach over and just poke them with a stick. Not in this church. A church full of divine expectation. So expect the outpouring of pray in expectation. Praise in expectation. Sow in expectation. Remain patient no matter what the circumstance. So, we're rebuilding something here. We're rebuilding a great praise team and everything else. We're in that place. And in the day of the Lord, Psalm 110 says, my people shall be volunteers. Yes. Everybody should be volunteering to do something. Yeah. Just somebody do something and work together with us for the vision. Because we're here for a nation. Yes. We're here for a nation. We're here for Ayrshire, North Ayrshire, South Ayrshire, East Ayrshire. We're here for the whole of the nation. Amen. So God has got in you a word. God has put you there. There's no one else in this world with your thumbprint. There's no one else in this world with your irises. You're the only person with your DNA in this whole world. God made you as an individual. He made you special unto Him. Yes. Because only you can touch other people. Yes. Only you can touch other lives. Because you are made, there was a song once, you were made for me, everybody tells me so. Some of the older guys were singing along with me there, but some of the old ones were good. All the lyrics were good. So Isaiah 55:11 says this, and this is a vital point. It says, it's the same in the New Living Testament, Isaiah 55:11. It's the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. Yes. It will accomplish all I want it to and it will prosper everywhere that I send it. So God his words that he sends out that always, you see, it's that one word that will produce fruit. It's the one word that is looking for an expectant heart, because an expectant heart is good soil. And when that seed is sown in good soil, that will bear fruit. That word will bear fruit. It shall do. It will prosper. It will accomplish all I want it to. And it will prosper everywhere I send it. The Bible says this in another translation: so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Expect it to happen. With God, one version says, "Without it will not return without succeeding in the matter for which it is sent." God knows that the power of accomplishment is in his word, which is active and powerful. Amen? His word is active and it's powerful. When we receive a word, that's why we would call ourselves a word church. Why would we call ourselves a word church? Because we teach the unadulterated, immutable word of God. We don't go anywhere else for the word, but that's it. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall a thing be established. So we take the word and we do it the way Jesus would build upon the word of God, so that you have a foundation for your life. The foundation for your life is the most important thing, because when the storms come, many of you have seen Hurricane Florence or a friend of ours, David Summerall, in the Philippines. He's just sent this morning, he sent 12 tons of food to the north of the Philippines, because they got a terrible storm last night. There's 14 people killed and everything up there. But these storms are all over the world right now. The earth is groaning. The God's getting ready to come back. And we need to get ready for God coming back. Amen. So there's people poised to reach out to these people and do what we've been called to do. Amen. So we need to, even those people, we've got to be in expectation and ready when those things come. Amen. So, the Bible says this in Romans 8, 15 to 17 in the Message Bible. I hope we can get this and put it up. That Romans 8, 15 to 17. This resurrection life you received from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. The life you receive. So, if you receive Jesus Christ into your life today, you receive a life that is not a timid, grave-tending life. The Bible says it's adventurously expectant. Wow. It's adventurously expectant. Imagine living your life and your life is an adventure. How many of you'd love to live an adventure? Yes. Why does everyone want to go to Disneyland? Because it's an adventure. You know, I took my grandchildren out. I was brought up in Dungarvan, and I used to go guddling fish and spearing fish and just doing all swimming in the river, building rafts, all that rope swings and all that thing. And that's what we did. And I took my grandchildren there and an adventure day. They have never forgotten it. They enjoyed it more than Disneyland.
Amen.
Amen. So kids aren't looking for this. They're looking for a daddy that will take them somewhere and do something with them. You know what I'm saying? We walked across rivers, and I put my granddaughter on my shoulders and walked across the river and did all sorts of things. We it's like the song, we cut ourselves, we saw our blood, we went home all covered in mud. The rest of that song is, "My name is Bill and I'm a nutcase." I'm sure some of you remember that one as well. The group was the animals, if you want to Google it. So, oh, gosh. Adventures every day in Christ Jesus, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" And that's what they're like. Your kids are like, "What's next, Papa? I'm expecting something else, Papa. I mean, that was great, but what's next?" And that's it. What's next? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who He is and we know who we are, Father and children, and we know we're going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. Do you see that there? An unbelievable inheritance. You say, "I can't believe that." What's there's an unbelievable inheritance waiting for you, and you don't need to get it by fraud. It's yours. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. It's yours already. An unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with Him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with Him. When you are living expectantly, know this. Colossians 2:14 in the New King James says, "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." That is saying to us that there is nothing between you and your miracle. There is nothing between you and your miracle. He has removed the obstacles and nailed them to the cross. Jesus removed the obstacles to your adventurous life, to the expectations that you have. Jesus has removed the obstacles. I want to tell you, if you had lived a life of expectancy and you had already said, "This is going to be the wife of my dreams, this is going to be the husband of my dreams, this is the way I'm going to live," and you say, "Well, I had that dream, but I lost it," but I want to tell you, God is the God of the second chance. Yes. God is the God of recreation and recreating your dreams. There's life beyond whatever. There's life beyond losing children. There's life beyond abortions. There's life beyond all of these things. There's life beyond addiction. God is coming to give you hope, and hope so that you can go to the place that He's called you to be. Amen. You know, last week we looked at a video, and the evangelist says, "A soul is a soul, and it's precious to God. A soul is a soul, and it's precious to God." Church, we need to reach out. We need to expect to meet someone and lead them to Christ. We need to expect to meet someone and sow a seed in their life. You may not lead them to Christ, but you sow a seed, because 80% of people, the statistics tell us, are waiting for someone to invite them to church. They're waiting for something. They're waiting. They're lost and undone. They don't know what's happening in this life. They're just totally, "I wish it wasn't the same every day. It's the same old every day. I sit here." There's so many things I could say, but expect God to deliver you from the pain or whatever you have. Expect fear, depression, all those things to leave. Don't expect. It's like, this is something you hear when you're more mature. "Well, you know, old age doesn't come on its own." Yeah, get out of here. Speak to the hand. The face isn't listening. It's like, don't even come with that story. I was at a doctor's one day, and he started to say, I says, "Doctor, don't even go there." And he says, "I'm sorry." No, you don't go there. I mean, you're older, but not old.
Amen.
Amen. We're older, but we're not old. I'm telling you, we're older, but we're not old.
Amen.
So it's what do you expect when you're fed with that all the time? Old age doesn't come on its own. Oh, you'll have arthritis, you'll have rheumatics, you'll have slump or whatever. You'll get dementia, you'll get Alzheimer's. No, Alzheimer's. No dementia here in Jesus. This is the dementia, Alzheimer-free environment. Amen. This is an environment that's going to be free from all those curses in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm expecting the people that sit under the word of life to have life in all its abundance. Amen. That's what I'm expecting. Amen. And that is a possibility. In 1978, I had an accident and I lost my kneecap and all the muscles and tendons were severed in my knee. And the doctor said, you'll have arthritis the rest of your life. You'll have arthritis the rest of your life. You'll have arthritis. You won't be able to sit in your hunkers the rest of your life. No arthritis. I don't subscribe to arthritis. I think they even have a newspaper, Arthritic News or something. There's a club you can, there's even clubs you can go to. No, we can empty those clubs, guys. Am I too radical for you all?
No.
Okay, I'm drawing closer to an end. Expect God to pour out His Spirit today on your family, on the church, people all around you. You see, God can only do this through people who are filled with expectation. You see, expectation is the same as faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, now without faith it's impossible to please God, and those who come to God must believe that God is the provider or is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So when we are in expectation, God will give us what we are expecting. Amen? And you say, well, what if God doesn't give it to me? Well, keep expecting it. If God doesn't say no to you, just keep that. Abraham believed, and Sarah believed God for 25 years for a child, even although they were almost 100 years old when that child came. Physically, it wasn't possible for either of them to have children. It wasn't possible. So that was an unreasonable expectation, but they expected God to keep His word, and God kept His word. So we when we get into that place where we have faith in the word of God, even although it sounds unreasonable to us, it sounds unreasonable to our ears, but there's some things that will sound unreasonable. My daughter, when she was young, had pneumonia in both her lungs, and only one portion of one lung was functioning. But she's as healthy as you can be now. But we had an expectation that she would run free of any scarring or anything on her lungs. Amen? So based on that faith that you have in the word of God, God will confirm His word with signs following. Amen. So as we close this message today, I trust that you got a hold of the message that we sometimes reason ourselves out of the blessing of God. I don't see how God can do that. You know what the doctors say. Well, God and the doctors work together. Amen? And sometimes the doctors are not really correct in their assumption of what's wrong with you. Are you with me? We go in and say, doctor, this is what I feel. And he says, oh, right, my manual says, if that's what you feel, this is what you get for that. And that's what they do. But you got to go to Dr. Jesus and say, by the stripes of Jesus, I have been healed. Lord, I thank you for healing in my body. I thank you that when Jesus came, he set me free from all of that. So you need to flow, and those arguments that your brain gives against you getting the blessing of God, you've got to disannul those. You've got to destroy those and destroy the place those arguments come from. Because if you're saying that based on your knowledge, it's not God's knowledge. Are you with me? So we need to get God's word and knowledge on whatever we do. And God will take us to the place that he has already pre-appointed for us. Now, today, you're in this place. And the Bible says that a soul is a soul and is precious to God. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the answer to everything that I've been saying is coming to Jesus. You say, well, how do I come to Jesus? Well, the same way every one of us come to Jesus. The Bible says if we believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, that he lived this life on earth as a man, and at 33 years old, he was crucified, suffered death, and was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. Then the Bible says, if you believe that in your heart, then you can be saved. You can come to Jesus, and you can know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And when you say, well, what happens if I say that prayer? If you say it and believe, then this is what happens. The Spirit of God comes into your life. It's a supernatural thing that happens. Your spirit then becomes alive again. The Bible says that it's reborn, it's refreshed, it's refurbished, it's renewed because you said that prayer. So every man is a spirit. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. The real you is a spirit, because we were made in the image and likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his image and likeness made he us. So just looking around, you see everyone looks different. So it's not referring to our outer image. It's referring to our inner image, and that is our spirit. So God, our spirit has lain dormant for whatever years that we have not ask Jesus into our life. But once we do, it's like, bang, your spirit is recreated. The Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in your spirit, and you become a recreated spirit with a promise of eternity with God. Amen. Who wouldn't want that?
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.